Today's episode is brought to you by Burrow. You know the thing animals do?
Uh-huh.
They burrow.
They burrow.
You know what we do? We sit on couches. Guess what Burrow.com has? Couches.
Whoa.
Ottomans. Home to the classic Seinfeld bit. Sectionals, which is one couch but in different pieces.
It's a whole empire of putting your feet up.
Yeah, they didn't send us copy for this ad, so we're making it up as we go.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Burrow.com, that's B-U-R-R-O-W, Burrow.com. And it looks like they just kind of have one or two models of each version. They got a sofa, they got the love seat, they got the couch, they got the sectional, but it all looks like this. It's the same style.
Simple stuff, kind of IKEA-esque. We probably shouldn't have said that, but fucking whatever. Free shipping on all orders. It looks like the couches that you like to have, and it's free shipping. And the promo code is Boogie Monster. You know how to spell our name: BOOGIEMONSTER, all together. Put it in capitalization because that's how they emailed it to us.
I'm gonna get one of these one seaters and put it in the van.
You mean a chair?
They have the armchair one seater.
One of these one seater couches.
Yeah,
called chairs, Dave.
Yeah. Armchair's the one-seater. They got the love seat's the two-seater. Sofa's the three-seater, and the king sofa's the four-seater.
What's the difference between a sofa and a couch? Or is that like soda and pop?
Yeah, I think it's soda and pop. Yeah, I think there is no difference.
Glad we got to the bottom of it. This ad's too long already. That is code Boogie Monster at burrow.com if you need a place to put your ass.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Kaboom! We're back!
Oh, we're back.
Yeah, I just started.
Ah. What's up, buddy?
It's been a while. New year.
It is a new year. Yeah, 2018.
Almost thought we were not going to live through 2017. Not us in particular, but just the human race.
Yeah. Yeah, so, we made it.
Maybe 2018, we don't make it so far. Nuclear war possible.
You think that's going to happen?
I don't. Okay, this will be a perfect tie-in with not to usurp the beginning of the first episode back, which thanks for hanging in, everybody, for the two episodes that we haven't been around.
Yeah. Yeah.
People really thought we went out to for cigarettes and weren't coming back. Just needed a break. Everybody on the road. Everybody traveling.
Yeah, man.
I think you ever – well, you're not – you're Street Justice Dave, and you ain't afraid of a fight. You ain't going to back down out of a showdown. But me, when it comes to fight or flight, I'm a little bird.
Oh, yeah?
I'm all flight.
Nah.
All flight.
You're scrappy.
I think if put to the test, maybe, but I avoid the test. I always avoid the test. But in regards to Trump and Kim Jong-un, you see two, when people are going to fight, but you realize neither one of them wants to fight, so they're just loud?
Yeah.
I think that's it. Like, I don't think either one of them.
Well, I hope that's it.
Well, if you have, I think that's it. I think they know they're getting, Trump's from the TV world, and all he knows is press and people talking about him. And guess what? If everybody dies, nobody's going to talk about you anymore. And with Kim Jong-un, if everybody's nuked, you're not a leader. You're not supreme leader if there's nobody there to follow you.
Yeah.
So if they did both have nuclear war, everything that makes their ego what it is would no longer exist. Now, granted, if you're just crazy, you don't know that anyway.
Yeah. I hope that's the case.
But that would go into, what I was trying to share about going to see the Misfits on December 30th.
Ooh.
And how clownish, oh, my God. All of the Hollywood creeps. Hollywood punk shows are hilarious.
Where was it at?
It's at the Forum.
Oh, that's the old Lakers spot.
Old Lakers spot over in Inglewood, yeah.
Huge show.
Yeah, so Guns N' Roses there. So Misfits, they're like Rachel got tickets like early on because I got where she was from in Oregon, where she grew up. Like, that's all I listened to were the Misfits. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, she had friends coming down. Like, yeah, well, I'll go. I'm like, Misfits are like, yeah, I'll go see them. You know, it's like,
I love Misfits.
It's like Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, it's the band that everybody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And that, of course. Yeah, I'll go see them. But I get that everybody's in their costume. Like, nobody, not that this is a secret, nobody ages gracefully in LA.
Yeah.
Now, in one way, it can go with plastic surgery and all that stuff. And the other way are the old punks and cretins who are just still putting on the costume just 40 years later.
Like any night at the Rainbow Room.
Oh, God. Yeah, just still like fingerless gloves. And just when like the old guy with the dyed black hair, when it's just gone, like, oh, God.
Did anybody have like the Jerry Olney?
They didn't do the devil locks. There wasn't a lot of devil locks, which is really just a comb forward.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a cover up. Your bald spot is doing your devil lock, but from the back of your head instead of the front. But so we go, and it's fine. We're up in the cheap seats, you know, hanging out. And Rachel and her friends. But Rachel and I go get beers during – and Misfits, by the way, it was hilarious that Glenn Danzig would talk and be like, all right, guys. I feel like shit, but we're here to rock. And then the song would start in a total vocal track. Like, sounded exactly
really?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Man.
Yeah, the vanity of, like, at least Guns N' Roses. It was, you know, you could tell Axl was singing. Like, they were playing the instrument.
Uh-huh.
Like, Axl's like, all right, yeah, warts and all, here it is. But so we go get beers, we come back, and all of a sudden I hear this swearing. Like, it's loud, but I hear this swearing, like, in a seat right behind us. And I turn around and look, and it's this big dude just sitting there with a girl sitting next to him. And he's swearing at Rachel and I for standing up. For standing up at a Misfits concert. Everybody else.
In the cheap seats.
Whole stadium standing up.
Yeah.
And I look back at the girl who's with him. I'm like, is this at me? And she's like, and you can tell she's like, yes, but don't. Like, and she's just telling this guy, like, shut up. I don't know if this is a girlfriend, boyfriend situation, but she's like, shut up, shut up. And he's like, fuck you. And she immediately walks away. And he just sits there and pouts and flips off Rachel and I, like, fuck you, fucking standing in front of me. And so at first, I'm like, look around, you fucking dipshit. And like, all right, I'm going to use language that if this guy wants to fight, it'll be a fight.
Uh-huh.
And he's a big dude, which everybody's a big dude to me. I'm a little guy. Another part of the flight response. I'm a tiny guy, Dave, and I don't want to get my ass kicked. And I just, like, I'm not interested in it. I'll get hurt on my own right. I'll fall off my bike all the time. But I just don't want to get pummeled. But this guy's being, like, a real piece of shit and screaming at us. I'm like, fuck you fucking idiot. Look around. And I'm pointing out, like, everybody's standing
good
up.
Good for you.
And he's like, oh, everybody's standing, so I got to stand? And for a brief moment, I'm like, that's the most punk rock thing you can do at the Misfits concert. Is sit down and be like, oh, because everybody else is doing it, I'm supposed to do it. I'm like, I didn't give it to him, but I was like, kudos to your nonconformist attitude. for that brief moment, I was like, actually, this is like some. And for a minute, he looked like a guy I knew. There's the Catani brothers from Naperville, Illinois. And Mike Catani was in a great band called 30 Seconds Deep and Lando's 45, if you know. And Paul Catani was his older brother. He's a big guy. Tall, big, like, just not, like, just a burly dude.
Uh-huh.
And the funniest thing, we'd go to punk shows, but he looked like a jock. But everybody knew his brother was in the band. He was part of the whole scene. He would find the two smallest people at the edge of the pit and just, during a band, would just make the hand gesture, like, put me up. I want to crowd surf. With all sincerity, and you just see two 15-year-olds with this look on their face like, oh, I mean, oh, all right. You'd see them, like, put their hands down, and he would just grab onto each of their shoulders and subsequently just push them into a crouch while trying to crowd surf. And it was just a bit that everybody in the band who was standing in the back by the merch would laugh their ass off, but you just see them like, put me up. I love this song. And you see these kids like, oh, no, really?
That is so funny.
Just two teenagers trying to get underneath this 200-pound guy.
Sir, I think you're too big.
And that's where I thought this guy was like, is this like a deep troll of like, sit down, I'm trying to watch the Misfits.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then after a while, like, then he's just calling Rachel and I. He's like, you guys are fucking lesbians. And like doing the scissor gesture with his hands. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's the insult. I'm a woman. Is that where you're like – And it was one of those things like, oh, you're not going to fight. Because we got to a point where I'm looking at like where we're at, and he's above me because it's tiered seating.
Oh, wish
and I'm better. Like, so if I got to swing, or is he going to come down at me because then Rachel's over? Like, I had to like logistically look at this. Then Rachel threw a fucking beer on him.
Good.
Which, yeah, good, but this is like $12 stadium.
True.
I think she finished most of it.
Did he look out of place? Did he look like a big dumb jock at a punk
show?
No,
he looked like a guy who wanted to see the Misfits. But was just, he looked like a guy who was things, you know, his life wasn't going well. Like, this wasn't the sole cause of his anger.
Yeah.
But so Rachel threw the beer on him. I'm like, well, now it's go time. Because if he does anything at Rachel, and I'm like, did he touch? No, and he just would stand there. Oh, no, I got a beer on me. I'm like.
Yeah.
And then he would just do like the fucking Homer Simpson middle fingers. Like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And then I'm like, all right. And then Rachel and I, like, eventually I'm like, this guy's not fighting. I'm not fighting. But he's so I'm like, wait, this is actually her. So then I was with like Rachel's friends. I was like, watch, just turn around. And if you turn around, he would like catch you looking at him and then go back to fingers, like, fuck you guys are fucking fags. Like, would just say that. I'm like, oh, buddy.
Yeah.
And then at one song, Rachel, like, let's pretend we're going to get beers and then come back. Like, oh, it's a great song. And then we'd get like down the stairs. And then so he'd like be sitting there watching. We'd just run back to our seats and stand up in front of him. Oh. It was fun. And then like once I finally turned around, he was standing up. At that point, I'm like, look at you. Even you're standing up. And as you could tell, he's just. He was just a shitty dude that just, like, your life isn't well.
What do you think was going to happen in a Misfits show?
That was why I'm, like, kind of think it's hilarious.
God.
Like, I was. I went from the point of, like, I'm going to get in a fight. Mm-hmm. But this guy's not swinging at me.
Mm-hmm.
He's not being physical. He's being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not being physical. But then it's like, oh, well, is it the honor of he's... yelling at me and my girlfriend. But it was one of these things like, oh, you're like a real sad dude.
Yeah, have
like,
fun.
If this is honest, if this is a true feeling that you're having, it was like, what a sad dude.
Yeah. Stand there and pout, you fucking idiot.
It was like when you see the anti-gay protesters at like the Halloween parade or something where you're like, oh, your life is just sad. Like, this is really what you're... This is really what's upsetting you in the world, or something?
Yeah,
something happened. Your fucking your ex wife doesn't let you see the kids anymore. Mm. That's what's happening. Here.
Sound like a world class turd.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was the Misfits, and also they handed out the cell phone cases.
Oh yeah.
So nobody could take. And then, like in the bathroom, you see a bunch of them cut open. Like, oh, bad boys! You can't tell me I can't have my leash. I'm like, oh, fucking L.A. punks! What? Just missing the point entirely. Mm. I'm going to get my phone back. Yeah, good. Get your leash back. Get your societal noose back. Way to stick it to the man, punk rockers.
Other than that, how was the show?
It was pretty bad.
Was it bad? Vocal track the whole time?
Well, if he sounded the way he sounded between songs, and then the songs just sounded loud, blown out.
They play all the hits.
Yeah, played all the hits.
Any opening band?
Alkaline Trio, actually.
Really?
Everybody shits on. I like Alkaline Trio.
Yeah, I got no problem with
it. I actually got this. I stood on the floor for them. I watched them. They were all right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, but that was Misfits was a pretty hilarious experience. Mm-hmm. But then I equate that to like Trump and Kim Jong Un. I was like, oh, this is all pageantry and posturing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so that was one thing that I did over the break. What about you? How was your break, Dave?
My break was good, man.
You traveled all over. You went for a month.
Traveled all over. I'm real jazzed up today. We're recording this Monday before it comes out. Tonight is the national title college football game.
Yeah.
My beloved Georgia Bulldogs.
Praying for you.
So as people are listening to this, I'm either in a very good mood or a very bad mood on today, Tuesday. But hopefully a good mood. But regardless... I'm so excited.
What happens if they win this? They win the
whole thing. This is essentially the Super Bowl of college football.
Have they won before?
They won in 1980.
Oh, man, that's a long time.
Yeah, 37 years. So, whereas Bama, who they're playing tonight, if they win, this will be their fifth title in 9 years.
Is that the Roll Tide?
Yeah.
Well, just by default, I want them to lose. Straight up by default.
Roll Tide.
I just had to hear that shit.
Ugh.
Apropos of nothing, every time driving through.
Yeah.
Like a shitty animal call.
Yeah.
I hope they lose.
I mean, Bama football is a big deal in Alabama. No, you know, I'm not going to take the cheap shot and say because there's nothing else going on there.
There's nothing else going on.
I like Bama, but I mean, I like the state of Alabama. I don't, you know, I'm definitely not a fan of their football team. But as a college football fan or a football fan in general, I got to admit they're a great team. They're their coach is great. They have great players, but it's oh boy, so. I've been emotionally invested in this team seriously since I was about 5 years old.
I've been emotionally invested for the last 2 minutes since you started talking about this, but I'm right there with you, buddy. Go Dogs.
Well, also, it's I feel like nobody expected us to be here. Not to bore you with football talk, but nobody expected Georgia to be here.
Okay, not boring me. Maybe the listeners.
We opened the season first quarter of the first game of the season. We lost our starting quarterback. Went down. With an injury. Do you know what the concept a true freshman means in regards to sports or college football?
No.
True freshman is all right, most college players they will try to go because I guess it's pretty hard to juggle a full college academic load and play sports.
Yeah.
So a lot of times they will redshirt.
I dropped out of college having played no sports.
Yeah. So a lot of times they'll say, all right, you know, where the classic schedule is 4 years, they'll take these athletes and go, all right, just plan on being here for five. That way we can space out 4 years of academics and 5 years. But you only have 4 years of eligibility, so we will redshirt you your first year, meaning you'll be on the team, but you won't play any the whole year.
You're just doing your schoolwork.
Yeah, and you practice and do all that, but you won't dress out and play in any game. So most freshmen are redshirt freshmen, meaning they're technically sophomores. They were here last year, but this is their first year playing. True freshman is – he was in high school 9 months ago.
They don't even want to play
him. Yeah, well, I mean – there's different reasons why, but like, anyway, true freshman is almost when you hear that you're like, this kid's wet behind the ears.
Greenhorn.
Yeah, he's a greenhorn. So our backup was a true freshman. Greenhorn came in, led us to a championship season, and just went 13-1, 12-1. They lost one game all season, and under a true freshman quarterback, which is unheard of to get to the national title game with a true freshman quarterback. I mean, it has happened. I don't know who's won the national title. I'm sure maybe once or twice somebody has won, but it's a big deal.
Epic sports.
So nobody expected us to be here. Alabama's like the bully on the block, so it feels like Georgia. It just feels like, all right, let's go beat up a bully tonight. Let's just punch a bully right in the fucking mouth.
I hope their tide gets rolled.
So I'm so jazzed about that.
What does the phrase mean?
Roll Tide. We'll say they have Roll Tide, but they're also they're called the Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
But yeah, Roll Tide. I don't know what the fuck it means. And their actual mascot's an elephant. So piece that together.
Fuck that whole team.
Yeah, I don't know. But go Dogs. That's Bulldogs.
Go Dogs.
So anyway, it's kind of a moot point as this is being listened to because it's already determined who won.
Oh, no. It's fun to listen to someone
excited
about it without knowing the outcome.
But anyway, yeah, so I got back in town just a couple days ago. I've been gone for a month.
Been gone for a long time.
Went out on a nice fat tour. Hit up, I think, 13, 14 cities. And just had a great time. Houston, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Huntsville, Nashville, Atlanta, Charlotte. So many great shows. But yeah, just had a ball, dude. And thank you to anybody and everybody who came out. And I've mentioned this before, you know, coming off of tours with this podcast. But like first time in my career where I'm not sitting there 5 minutes before the show panicking that we're going to have to cancel because no one came out. Not that I'm selling out theaters, but every show's been
– folks are coming out.
People are coming out, and it's been fun, and people bringing gifts. Yeah. And just a big hoot. A couple of highlights I'll shout out to my boy Marcelo in Richmond, Virginia. I'd never been to Richmond, Virginia before.
RVA, good town.
Oh, man. Did a really cool little club called Wonderland, like a dive bar that kind of had a horror movie / wrestling theme. Just a real gritty, but not like a put on aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, it's just shit we're into, not like some fabricated, but just a real gritty dive bar called Wonderland.
The difference between somebody going, you know what I like, and you know what I think people would like?
Absolutely. This is just, no, this is what I'm into.
Yeah.
And so I had fun in Richmond, had fun in Houston, played a new place there, never been to, called The Secret Group.
Oh, yeah, The Secret Group.
Oh, man. All Comic Ran. Yeah, Comic Ran. Shout out to Andrew Youngblood and those guys. Mm-hmm. Man, just great time in Houston. And another highlight, a city I've played probably more than any city, maybe other than Atlanta, Charlotte. never had a lot of success in Charlotte as far as like finding that one club that I can come to over and over. It's always just been scattered about. But man, played a nice little bar called Petra's. And shout out to Ramon and those guys. Great, just kind of like a somebody's cool living room. Just like it was nice, like a unpretentious coffee shop vibe. Just a nice, you know, lamps and rugs, but like, you know, couches.
Lamps and rugs.
Yeah, people just hanging out.
Look at you playing places with lamps and rugs.
But big crowd there, great show. So yeah, just
no more salt warehouses for Dave. They got carpeting on the floor where it should go.
But yeah, great tour, and oh, the food. Yeah. I hit up some good food, buddy. I mean, ooh, we could spend an hour talking about the food I
got
ate.
I got some eats. Best thing you had. Most notable.
Well, I can't.
Maybe we're catching up on a month. All right. Supernatural stuff, Boogie Monster related stuff has happened, but as we've learned, by the way, it's a Boogie Monster account, Dave. As we've learned what this podcast is really about.
All right, I'll just throw out a few. All right, I won't do every one. Finally, I didn't play in Austin, but I went through Austin to get to the first gig. So I spent the night there right before the tour started. Hit up Franklin Barbecue after. I went to the
world-renowned.
Yeah, world-renowned. I went to there. I went there second. My first lunch of the day was at La Barbecue. And did a lot of research, and a lot of the consensus seems to be in Austin that everybody thinks Franklin's the best, and but everybody's like, La Barbecue is right behind, is a close second.
Yeah.
So I went to La Barbecue, amazing. I had had the brisket, had the pork ribs. Oh, this is weird. I can't remember the dude's name. I ordered at the counter at La Barbecue, and the guy goes, "Are you the Boogie Monster?" Swear to God. He goes, "You have a very distinct voice." And then he paused and he goes, "Are you the Boogie Monster?" And I was like,
"I'm the Boogie
Monster." Yeah, I'm the Boogie Monster. Odd to get recognized by your voice.
Yeah, outside of the podcast, just somebody going, "That voice sounds familiar. Hold on, are you the Boogie Monster?" It's me. I've been living in a closet and under your bed for the last 23 years. Sorry.
So I didn't feel like getting up at 8 o'clock and go standing in line at Franklin, so I went to La Barbecue, and then on the way back to the hotel, I noticed that I was going to be driving right by Franklin. It's about 2 o'clock, and I said, what the hell? Let me see what's going on over at Franklin. Got at the tail end of that line, just 45 minutes, and had a second lunch at Franklin. And I got to say, granted, I was very full.
Yeah, you're coming in a little.
Yeah, coming in, you know, already kind of baked there. And Franklin was very, very good, but I think La Barbecue had him beat. The Franklin Barbecue, the brisket was almost too tender. Like it was like
too tender.
It was almost like a slab of Jell-O, if that makes sense.
Fat, a lot of fat.
There was a lot of fat, which I don't mind. I like the fat, but even the non-fat, it was just the whole thing was almost gelatinous. Like it was so tender that they almost went too far with it. If that's possible.
Wow.
I mean, it was good.
Where does Blood Cells rank in this? Because I had that again the other day.
Blood Cells is way up there, man. Blood Cells, I think La Barbecue and Franklin has Blood Cells beat, but.
Oh, okay.
But not by far. Blood Cells is.
I just need a gauge for myself.
Way up there.
Since I know you like Blood Cells.
Blood Cells
like
is very
Blood
good.
Cells, I got to know where.
So, anyway, that was Austin.
Remember how you got the six person platter?
Oh, that wasn't me. That was Daddy Warbucks.
This is on fucking Jimmy Showbiz.
We had a.
It's all right. He's not going to listen to this.
Yeah. No, of course not. Of course not. We, let's talk about that real quick. We had a TV producer reach out to us and want to talk about doing a Boogie Monster TV show. And I'm a big time producer and I do this and this and this. And he goes, wherever you want to eat, I will put it on my expense account. And
First off, where do you want to eat? And Dave's immediately, Blood Cells. We get there. As soon as the food shows up, you don't say another word the rest of the meeting. And this guy's going off. Clearly has never listened to the show.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a huge fan. And then didn't realize I lived in a van. Because then later he was like, wait, you what? And I was like, yeah, you're a huge fan. You should know that, right? But yeah, just ugh.
Anyway, we got the six-person platter.
Yeah. So I was like, all right.
Three of us.
Yeah, you want to sling your business account around. we'll get the $120 group plate.
Yeah. Who played who, showbiz? We might not get a TV show now, but we did eat for a day and a half.
All right, I'll run through these real quick. Went to New Orleans, and I did some research on this place. This is basically why I wanted to go to New Orleans. Ate at a place called Cochon.
I've been there.
Oh, my. Did you go to Cochon or Cochon Butcher? They have the butcher shop next door that's the sandwich shop and butcher shop.
Restaurant.
Oh, man. What'd you get? Do you remember what you got?
It was a while ago.
Oh, mine was so good. Oh, dude, it had this charcuterie plate. They call it something else, a boucherie plate.
Charcuterie.
Had hog's head cheese. You ever had hog's head cheese? Head cheese? Oh, man.
Oh, head cheese.
Yeah, but.
I was like, is that like boar's head cheese?
No, yeah, but they call it instead. Yeah.
Head cheese, yeah.
Yeah, had some head cheese. Oh, mm-hmm. So good.
Had that before.
Had crazy.
That's a gross item.
Yeah.
I like it. That's a gross.
Yeah.
It's just the stuff that that they get off the floor, right?
Yeah, yeah, they grind it up and mush it up. And
it's basically scrapple, but it's fancy.
Yeah, but it was good. They did something to it, made it delicious.
Yeah.
Had pork pate. It's kind of similar, just a big glop of mush.
Yeah.
But put it on some crackers and, crazy pickles.
Okay. Soft meats.
Yeah. Had this catfish dish. Catfish court bouillon. Some sort of braised catfish with rice. And, oh, dude, so good. What else did I have there? Anyway, Cochon, that was amazing. Also in New Orleans, ate at Oceana Grill. I had this crazy blackened redfish with, like, shrimp etouffee glopped on top of it. Cajun food, got to be one of my favorites. Casey's Buffet in Wilmington, North Carolina. We talked about this before. Soul food barbecue buffet.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, yeah. Oh, my God. All right. The thing with the buffet, I'm a big fan of the buffet, all right? But willingly and knowingly, you're going to sacrifice a little bit of quality to have
quality for quantity.
The buffet component to it, right? Casey's Buffet, it is all menu quality shit. Just if this was all just order this off the menu and it's still some of the best sides, barbecue you've ever had. Catfish. Oh, they have chitlins there. They have pig's feet. Oh, yeah. It's the real deal.
I tried to eat a pig's foot once.
Yeah.
They're
real fatty. It's an acquired taste. Ate at Husk in Nashville. Been wanting to eat there. Sean Brock's restaurant.
Corn.
Celebrity chef.
Corn.
Very good. Very good. Had some country fried steak. It's a little pretentious.
So I get this is your short list.
Yeah.
You're telling me every restaurant you ate at.
Then in Baton Rouge, of course I went to Blue's. Blue's is one of my favorites. I've talked about that before. But I also, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, I found Tony's Seafood Market, which is like a big grocery store, nothing but seafood. And then in the back, they have like hot food, the cafeteria style, where you just grab a tray or a to-go box, and you're just like, I'll take some of that, take some of that, slop take some of that. They slop it on some of the best Cajun seafood I ever had. So, yeah, anyway, that's just a short list.
Did you have any food that sucked? I mean, you don't have to name the name, but do you have any food you're like, ugh?
No, not really.
There you go. Good vacation.
The lady came out about two-thirds of the way through the tour. She met me for the last four dates. She had never been to the South.
Ooh.
Never been to the South. She's a California gal. Never been to the South, so
a tour of heaven with St. Peter.
Oh
Jesus.
My God! Did I roll out the red carpet? We ate at Cracker Barrel like three times.
Yeah,
we had Waffle House two or three times. She went to Bojangles, Crystal, the whole thing. Watch your mouth about Waffle House.
We know where we stand.
Waffle House is fucking great, but yeah, she had never had any of that. So that was fun showing somebody like. In the,
shit her pants.
I don't know if she appreciated it the way I did. She's like, wow, this tea sure is sweet. Like, yeah, it's sweet tea. What's the problem?
Yeah. It's a children's drink. That's the syrup that's supposed to go on a snow cone is what sweet tea is.
Oh, it's delicious. Oh, it's so good.
That was what'd you do for you make Christmas food?
Christmas. We went and saw my folks for Christmas. No, I didn't. I made pimento cheese. That's it. We got in the afternoon of Christmas Eve.
Okay.
So all the food was already
traditional dishes.
Yeah, traditional stuff.
Turkeys
yeah.
and ham. We had turkey ham. Always good. Love a classic turkey ham combo.
Yeah, I like that. We had the turkey ham combo. I made some biscuits. I made biscuits and pimento cheese. That was my contribution. Yeah. But, just a really small affair. Just my aunt, two aunts, and my folks, and the lady, and that's it. Yeah. pretty low key. Went to Waffle House on Christmas Eve though. We talked about that, but yeah,
Christmas Eve.
That was as fun as anticipated. So good times all around there. And not only had the lady not been to the South, she had, like, my folks live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So it was quite a culture shock. She was just like,
"Real?
What do people do out here?" I don't know. They survive.
Humping and mess.
But yeah. What about your Christmas? Chicago. Go back to Chicago.
Got back. Well, I went to the islands of Hawaii.
Right. Tell me about that.
So
how was the show?
By the way, fun show.
Tom Segura didn't draw your whole crowd away.
No. We got a few people out.
Nice.
And regardless of Tom Segura,
yeah,
packing out a 1,000 seat theater down the street. Yeah, I don't have those Tom Segura numbers, but I was a small but mighty crowd over at the pool hall that's behind a 24-hour fitness. Which is the place I played last time. I didn't even know how to get in this time. Last time we drove and it was through a parking lot. This time I'm like, I think it's behind. We got to go through this 24-hour fitness. And then it's a pool hall behind there. But, yeah, it's going great. Time. You know, people want to question my success. I'm like, yeah, come on. Let's.
It was a good show, though?
Yeah, it was great. Buddy Shane Price, who put it on, was out there. He's a funny dude. Just go see comedy in Hawaii. In Honolulu. And it was a good show. We were just there for a few days. We stayed up at a place, Rachel and I. I got a pork chop that I was convinced was a human leg. I'm going to show you this. Okay. I'm going to show you this picture of a pork chop. It's I hope I still have it here, Dave. I was halfway through it, and I was like, I think this is from a thing. Like, look at this. Look at the size of that.
Whoa. Yeah, that does look like a human leg.
And isn't pork supposed to be the closest to human flesh?
That I don't know. But that's about
it. That's what it's supposed to be.
That's about a 6 or 7 inch thick pork chop.
Yeah. I got that. And, you know, looking at that. And as I was eating, it was just so much meat. I was like, this is like a thigh. It was like a human thigh.
Wow.
I can't picture what part of a pig this came off of.
Wow. Was it good?
I could see eating a cut, just a cut of a human.
Yeah.
It was good, but it was good to the point where I was like, you know, I flirt with vegetarianism, mostly because of the gout. I dip out of the meat for a few weeks at a time, dip back in. So on vacation, I'm going to dip back in. And then it's like the first night we're there, I get this goddamn piece of human flesh.
Wow.
I was like, oh boy. It was good, but I was like, I mean, like I said, I don't know if it's like a little stone too. If I'm stoned, I can't eat food that's on a bone.
Huh.
If I'm high.
Really?
I don't think about it too much.
I prefer it.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I go the other way. I'm like, I get that. That's part of a thing. Yeah. I see what part it is in when it's alive.
See, I embrace that.
No, I don't do that.
I just gnaw on a bone even if there's no meat on it.
Well, that's your an animal.
Yeah,
you're a junkyard dog, Dave. We've established that.
So, stayed a whole week after the show.
Stayed in Oahu for 3 days, then went to Kauai and stayed. It was a little drizzly, but it was great. It's Hawaii.
Nice.
It was like it's a country island.
Uh-huh.
So it was just we did our kayaking, our hiking. There's a place called Chicken in a Barrel, which they smoke their chicken and all their meats. The first time I was there, 50-gallon drums.
Uh-huh.
Just they attach them to the top, the lid, and they dangle them in there, and they smoke them. That's the best barbecue I've ever had. And now they have another one. They had franchising opportunities, and I thought that was my way out. knowing nothing about the food other than it's delicious, I'm like, I get Dave on to oversee the day-to-day, and we franchise the Hawaiian chicken place somewhere stateside.
I'm fine with that.
Somewhere where they would appreciate smoked Hawaiian chicken. I don't think LA is a chicken city.
It can
unless
be.
Unless you're doing like a shawarma.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're doing like Zanku.
Well, tell Gus's or Hal and Ray's that.
Okay, or a fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like a smoked barbecue chicken.
Cool.
I don't know. Anyway, so I ate that 3 times.
What kind of sides they give you with that?
Oh, they got all your traditional sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same kind of stuff. I forget what I was.
Oh, not Hawaiian stuff?
No, it's just a barbecue place.
Oh, okay.
It's just a
straight up barbecue place. Not a Hawaiian flair to it.
No.
Okay.
And did that, just chilled, didn't have any.
You'll stay in like a nice resort type place?
Did the first time, just stayed at an Airbnb the rest of the week.
Cool.
It just kicked, it was just vacation, man. Just being out, like, swimming underwater. Like, okay, who was having the discussion about octopuses being aliens?
We were talking
about
that.
Was that us?
Yeah.
Okay, because nowadays I don't even remember who we're talking to about stuff. You get cornered in a bar.
Yeah.
And I think it was after that somebody else, because we were talking about it. If you look, I mean, just to snorkel in a place where you could see under and see what can exist under there, and then know, like, okay, now stand above the waterline and look at the ocean. Look at the Pacific Ocean and understand the depth and expanse of the unknown that exists at the bottom of that ocean.
Yeah.
What I say anything can exist down
absolutely
there that we have no idea about.
Oh yeah.
This idea of Atlantis. I mean, I don't think there's an underwater city of angelic sort of mermaids, but the idea that just as much as outer space is mystifying and we don't know, I apply that same knowledge, like that same curiosity, to the depths of the ocean, and that's on our planet.
Did you see an octopus?
The time before.
Oh, okay.
But then this time I was snorkeling, and I didn't see an octopus this time, but I was like, man, I'd like to see an octopus. Mm. But I saw a turtle and a seal.
Oh, yeah?
Not the same thing. Not, I don't think they're smarter than us.
Those turtles are pretty badass, though.
Turtles are huge. Live forever.
Oh, man. They live like 200 years.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
This one just beached up. Also an interesting factor, where we were staying on Oahu, the resort was an old radar base, is the first place that picked up the signals that the Japanese bombers were coming to bomb Pearl Harbor. That was the first place they picked it up. And then we were snorkeling in this bay. I didn't realize there was a tidal wave in 1946. So think about the raw deal that Hawaiians got. It's just, we're coming there like, nope, here's our military base, and this is ours now. And because of that, you just got the shit bombed out
of
you. And then 5 years, 6 years after that, tidal wave comes.
Wow.
Because then we're snorkeling in this bay, and the guys, we're kayaking, and the guy's like below us. You maybe can't see him, but there's boxcars from a train. Tidal wave came in so powerful, swept boxcars that were on a train line that were carrying bombs back and forth.
Wow.
Like, swept them all the way out into the bay.
Jeez.
But I didn't realize they got on top of having the shit bombed out of them, then a tidal wave.
That's a
no
good
wonder you get there.
That's a great point.
Fuck off, you fucking Howleys. Like, yes, you're right.
Absolutely. When did Hawaii become a part of the United States?
I don't know when the statehood actually happened.
But yeah, I never looked at it from that angle of like, hey, we were doing fine out here, and now we're part of you guys, and now we got bombed.
That was Rachel making a point of like, imagine like just getting the short end of the fucking stick. When did it become a state? Not till 1959, August 21st, 1959. So it wasn't even afterwards. It was just – we just kind of went out there and nabbed it for a military base.
So they weren't even a state when they got bombed?
No. Hawaii was a territory of the United States in 1946. According to Wikipedia, in 1946, the United Nations listed Hawaii as a non-self-governing territory under the administration of the United States. So sort of like a Puerto Rico
scenario. Yeah. Well, thanks.
Scenario. Yeah.
Thanks for the association.
We don't we don't need to go over the shortcomings of the United States in the current climate that we're already in.
Yeah. How was New Year's? What'd you do? What'd you get into?
Yeah, we went down the street to Rachel's friend was having a party. Got there at 11, watched some people dance.
Mm.
New Year's doesn't – I don't really care.
I don't care about New Year's either.
I feel like that's
amateur night.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys go have fun.
Yeah.
I got it. I know how this works.
I was asleep in a hotel room in Phoenix watching a Seinfeld marathon.
See, that sounds like a perfectly fine way.
It's awesome.
Because you know that you have and will party
like
it's 1999.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Whenever I want.
Yeah, I don't need that day for it.
Yeah.
You kids have fun out
there.
Let's talk about what has happened. How about this, Dave? How about the fact that the U.S. Department of Defense was investigating UFOs? They admitted to it.
Just to put a placeholder on something real quick, we'll come back we'll come back to my thing, but remind me to tell you what happened in Atlanta. I'll tell you that later.
Is that your encounter?
Yeah, I'll tell you that later. I don't want to interrupt you.
Let's start about a personal – well, okay. First off, this is a big deal that – look how much bullshit is in the news cycle that nobody even cares about this. Not even a month old. that the Pentagon spent millions and millions of dollars actually researching UFOs. And what was that video that the two Navy aircraft that were following something that they couldn't explain what it was?
Yeah.
And admitting that it's not a foreign, a human foreign vessel.
Yeah. That video is pretty remarkable. Was that from 2014 or 04?
Yeah, it was something
like that. Yeah.
And just. Yeah.
And they're even saying in the video, I don't know what this is. Never seen anything like it.
And, I mean, you can look that up about what it is. Pentagon. That came out like mid December. And it was still like how jaded are we now? Like, I'm sure. But.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, okay, aliens. Anyway, Trump's going to kill us.
Yeah.
We're going to die because of the thing. Or do you think that was their attempt to be like, but look, come on, distraction.
I mean, you have to always question the timing of things, especially with this government.
All right, well, that was something that I was like, all right, well, I already believe. So, you know, it's not like you're getting me on board. I'm more like, well, fucking, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Told you. But outside of that, I had nothing spooky happen other than the other night at 1:30, somebody knocking on the door here.
Really?
It just creeps around this neighborhood, man.
Did you go down?
I woke up. I was in the middle of a melatonin stupor. So Rachel heard it. I'm like, oh. So I'm like, all right. I pull a Dave Stone move, had a machete with me.
Good. I'd like to know who's knocking at my door at 1:30.
It was also like, all right, somebody's knocking at the door, but you got to go downstairs to get to. I'm like, well, let me see if I can see first. It was three times somebody knocked. And I'm like, all right, you're not knocking three times on an apartment where there's four other doors there.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, this isn't a break-in, because why would you just be loud about breaking in a four-unit building, like where everybody's hearing you knock? So that's why I'm like, all right, I'm not worried about this. But then so I went and I looked out the windows here, and I could just see like a guy's head kind of like looking, and I'm like, I was going to be like, this is somebody delivering late night food and I got the wrong address. So I didn't even, I'm not going to go down there. I didn't want to deal. The guy went away.
Oh, okay.
But it still is 1:30 in the morning. Like, man, why don't you not be so adamant about knocking?
Yeah.
Unless it was somebody with a wrong address, like a food delivery thing, which delivering food late at night and you fall asleep on them, which I've done. And I apologize for. That's a frustrating thing when it's probably your last run of the night.
Yeah.
On a, what was it, Friday night? Yeah, I think it was Friday night, your last run of the night, and you're getting stiffed. I'd be like, wake up, motherfuckers.
Oh, man.
But that was not supernatural or mysterious. It was just another guy that got at the back door before I told you about. Mm-hmm. I got this. Again, fight or flight. I had the machete, but also I'm just tired. Oh, it's not coming in.
Oh, man. Well.
What happened to you, Dave?
Should I get into this?
Yeah.
I texted you kind of the Reader's Digest version, didn't I?
Did you?
You have any idea what I'm about to talk about?
I don't.
Okay. Well, it's not. All right. Well, I don't want to hype it up too much. But you and I had talked before about sleep paralysis.
Oh, wait. You did tell me about that, that you maybe experienced it.
Well, I think I experienced it and then some.
Well, yeah, he told me at the Highland Inn.
Okay.
Which is already a nefarious location
in
Atlanta.
For some reason, in that kind of people who know Atlanta, that Virginia Highlands, Ponce Highland, Little Five Point area, there's hardly any hotels. And that's a real thriving, kind of cool area. There's no chains. There's no all the Marriotts and Hiltons and all that are either in Midtown or downtown. But in this cool little pocket, there's literally the only one I can think of is the Highland Inn. And you've stayed there numerous times. I've stayed there. And I've heard – we've talked about it that that place is potentially haunted. And it is old. You can tell just by looking at it. It's at least 70, 80 years old. And I probably stayed there 10 times, and I've never had any specific encounters, but there's definitely a vibe there. And it all starts with a cat that roams the hallways, this bent-eared black cat that's just been
it's
there.
Cool cat, though.
It's a cool cat. I love cats. But he does put off a weird little vibe. So anyway, all right, the day after Christmas, We're leaving my folks' place down in South Georgia and kind of starting our journey back home. And Katie had never been to Atlanta, so I was like, all right, we'll spend one night in Atlanta and then kind of start our way back home, stopping in New Orleans and a few other places. So got us a room at the Highland Inn. And first of all, when we check in, this really weird dude working the desk. Just – I don't know if I have like a preconceived thing because I know that it's supposed to be haunted or I want it to be haunted. But there was definitely a weird vibe from the guy. I don't know how to describe it. But just, you know, kind of that classic like lone innkeeper.
The guy checking in.
Yeah, just this guy hanging out. Anyway, so he puts us in this room and the rooms aren't necessarily nice there. They're, you know, it's an older hotel.
Still got a key. Still got an actual metal key.
Actual metal key. So he puts us in one of the big double rooms, and we're like, oh, this is pretty cool. And about 10 minutes after we get in the room, we just hear this knock on the door. Yeah. And I'm like, what? And I go to open the room. It's the same guy. It's just kind of a creepy, I don't know, probably about 30. He's wearing a Russian hat, one of those fur, boxy Russian hats, you know. And I don't know if he's just trying to be hipster or what, but – and he's just standing there, and he goes, hey, there's been a mistake. I go, what's the problem? He goes, I put you in the wrong room. The TV doesn't work in this room. I'm like, oh, okay. And then he puts us in another room, and it's like literally half the size.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those little bitty rooms. I don't know if you stayed in one of the really small rooms there. And immediately I'm thinking, well, shit, I'd rather have the other room and no TV than this piece of shit room and a TV. So just like abnormally small hotel room. So anyway, go to bed, and it's raining that night. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, and this is absolutely no bullshit. All right. I kind of sleep – I kind of sleep on my stomach and on my shoulder. I'm not a back sleeper because if I sleep on my back, I snore like a son of a bitch. Yeah. So I have to sleep either on my stomach or on my side. So I'm kind of sleeping on my side. 4 o'clock in the morning, I snap awake, and I'm not making this up. I'm hovering about a foot off the bed with my arms spread out like – the way I am now, almost, you know, to describe it to those who can't see me, as if my arms are in the position of doing a bench press. Like, that's the fist shoulder width apart.
Yeah.
But so I got my arms are kind of in front of me, like bench press width, and I'm hovering over the bed, and I'm what I thought was 100% conscious and awake.
Yeah.
And there's a pulsating vibe in the room, and I hear – it had been raining, so I was used to like the real soft drizzle. You could hear the rain, but it intensified, and I woke up. I'm hovering 12 inches off the bed. There's this pulsating vibe in the air in my ears, and I'm 100% completely awake, but I can't move. I'm hovering. B, I can't move. I'm trying to physically – move my arms.
You can see, like your eyes.
I can see. I'm staring at the wall. This is where it gets really creepy. I'm not making any of this up. Katie's sleeping right next to me, and this weird, sinister vibe. Something, this sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Something was controlling me, and there was this vibe. It wasn't a voice. I didn't see a person, but there was this sinister vibe of like, do something bad to her.
What? Commanding you to do it?
Yes. And like I had to mentally fight this urge. And this makes me sound like a terrible person. Like fight the urge.
Sounds like evidence.
Yeah. I'm not a violent person.
Katie's back, right?
Yeah.
She's here. You talk about her. I never see you together.
It sounds weird to talk about. I know. But like there was this weird – something was commanding. There was a sinister vibe of like – harm her.
That's the thing.
And I remember thinking, fuck you, nuh-uh, I'm not going to harm her.
Nuh-uh, demons.
But seriously, it was like I was having to mentally argue with this thing.
I cast you out with a nuh-uh.
Dude, it was, and this lasted for about 20 seconds.
But sleep paralysis always comes with this sense of dread or this kind of ominous feeling. It's never like, oh, cool. There's always something demonic attached to it.
That's exactly what this was. I've never had this before.
It's always just like, oh, I can't move. By the way, there's a shadow standing in the corner of my room talking in a devil voice. Or the way that's depicted in art, like old-timey art, it's like a gremlin or a goblin sitting on someone's chest. That's how it's depicted. If you look up sleep paralysis and old-timey drawings of them. It's like a goblin. It's always accompanied with a sinister feeling.
Well, this is definitely what happened to me. It was sinister.
You've never had sleep paralysis?
I've never had
it. And now do you realize how that could be mistaken for like an encounter or an alien abduction?
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially if you've never had or known how to control it or read about it before. It's a fucked up feeling, right?
It was so fucked up because I was awake. I was conscious. I remember even thinking, this isn't a dream. This is not a dream. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
And I remember having to like battle it, like physically trying to break my arms free, but also mentally like, whatever the fuck's going on here, you're not going to win. I'm not going to hurt her. I'm not going to whatever. But this went on for about 20 seconds and it was intense. And I was fucking awake.
Let me just move my fingers.
Yeah.
If I can move my fingers, I know I'll move my hand, I'll move my arm and everything. We'll break out of it.
I eventually like muscled out of it and I like punched the wall. Like I pushed both my arms forward like a Superman punch and I literally punched the wall and that was what snapped me out of it.
Yeah.
It was.
Welcome. But especially there though.
Like, yeah.
But and you know what'll happen is if I front load my thoughts with, you know, if I watched a scary movie or something or if I'm in a place where I'm already predisposed to thinking.
Yep.
Like, oh, this is a scary place. But then I'm so tired. It's my brain staying awake going, you're in a scary place, or you saw a scary movie, and it's my body going to bed.
Hmm.
That's sleep paralysis. Your mind's awake and your body's asleep.
Wow.
And it's when I'm occupied myself like, oh, I'm in a scary place. Like I think might have been at Highland during Red Clay.
Uh-huh.
When I was at Highland Inn, and it was like they're all weird shaped rooms.
Uh-huh.
Not just like a hotel room that's like.
Yeah.
Mine had like a long hallway in the room.
Uh-huh.
To then get to where the bed was.
Yeah.
And yeah, just you're tired, you're traveling, but like, oh, this is a creepy room. Well, I heard it's high. Like all of a sudden, oh yeah, by the way, there's a thing in here and I can't move right now.
Yeah. So really freaked me out.
But it's a little bit like when you like getting scared like that, sometimes it's like, nah, maybe I'll try and get a little sleep paralysis. Because it's also supposed to be, I haven't read extensively on it, but it's supposed to help you bridge the way into lucid dreaming, too.
Really?
There's something there, because then eventually you're asleep, but you're in control.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like there's components to each that are similar. So that's why I've kind of courted it some nights. Where I'm like, oh, no, I think we're getting a little bit of that. Let's try and, I think it's almost like you're hypnotizing yourself a little.
Hmm.
Let's try and see if we can get to that lucid dreaming game, which is something we haven't talked about too much here, where, you know, you can control your actions within your dreams, which seems ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, your day sucks? Well, go to sleep and you can fly and have a bunch of sex or whatever. I mean, yeah, I'm not telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Your dreams.
Uh-huh.
Your dreams can be different. But, yeah, man, welcome to the world of sleep paralysis, buddy.
Yeah. On a lighter note involving hotels, in Phoenix, New Year's Eve, I splurged and got like a really nice spot at the Hilton or something. But then we wanted to stay one more day just because it was like, we don't want – not ready for the vacation to end. So then we transferred over to some – I forgot the name. It was one of these like indie spa / hotels.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a real – yeah, it was
boutique hotel,
and it was just a real weird vibe about that place. Not haunted, just like it felt like maybe it was like a swingers club or some sort of
places.
It's really weird.
Music's on when you walk in your room. Already.
Yeah, yeah.
I want this?
Absolutely. And they had a Mexican restaurant in the hotel, so I went down to get some takeout. And what is it about? I don't know if you've experienced this. Not to sound like grumpy old grandpa. But it was just – I walk in and immediately – and I don't know if it's just like younger people not knowing how to communicate or what. But this has happened to me a lot. But I walk in to the restaurant and they have the host stand and there's a 25-year-old dude and a 22-year-old gal, both working there, just kind of standing at attention. And I just walk in, and I'm like, and she's like, table for one. I was like, I want to get some takeout, take it up from my room. And both of them, the whole time, were just like, what? Like, I was like, very, you know,
because it's probably a restaurant that's there to be seen at. I'm like, nobody just wants to eat.
Oh, you think so? But like, they just looked at me like, what does this idiot want? And I was just, and I wasn't drunk. I wasn't high. I was just like, hey, I want to get some takeout. And they were just like, okay. And the whole procedure, every step of the way was just, what? Huh? And I'm like, this is a restaurant, right? I didn't kick in your apartment door and ask you to make me some fucking tacos. This is what you do, right? Guess what? The menu was in my room that your boss put here, so I'm taking him up on his offer, and I'm going to buy some fucking tacos. Is that cool?
I've made the mistake of shit-talking cities and then returned to those cities and been like, boy, I gotta not be so off the cuff. You know, I'm like, oh, man, Houston. So I might go back to Houston, and Houston's a great time.
Yeah.
Phoenix? Still waiting for you to win me over, Phoenix.
You
every time I have fun in Phoenix, I realize I'm in like Tempe.
Yeah,
I'm not in Phoenix. Like, oh, you're having a good time because you're not in Phoenix right now. Even friends that I know, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm making fun of Phoenix, and I shouldn't. Like, no, man, we're from Tempe. Like, even it's just a street over. But even though, don't say we're from Phoenix. That's the vibe I had when I was there.
You would have thought I had a rubber mask and a machine gun. They were just scared to death. Like, what? Huh? What? And I'm like, I'm trying to order some fucking food, you idiots.
The concept is Phoenix, the way, I don't know if I was talking about this, but I was there before. I had a fun time at the shows. Thanks, everybody came out to the shows in Phoenix a couple months ago. But if it, like, everything, all the stuff that people shit talk about LA, I think they're describing Phoenix. Like, oh, the people are just so fake and it's so much plastic. So I'm like, yes, Phoenix. It's Phoenix. It's either you're either talking specifically about like Beverly Hills, or all of Phoenix.
Yeah,
like Phoenix just seemed it was, same thing. Like everybody was just had to be beautiful all the time. Hmm. But it was like it was like if a bachelorette party was in charge of urban planning. Everything should be the coolest and the chicest and the most nightclubbiest, like fucking house music coming out of your bistro at 11 a.m. Like, guys, just calm down. Just calm down.
Mm.
Like, there's no like old timey Phoenix. Like,
yeah.
Just.
Yeah, it's a weird vibe, but yeah, they just I get, and this has happened to me before, but it's just like. Am I wearing a mask? Like, what's
with the guy?
What's the problem?
Gave me added, like, I paid $6.75 for a can of Budweiser. At
yeah.
And the guy was like, I told you that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went over. Hey, you know what? I'm sure there's great parts of Phoenix.
Sure.
But I need them to be pointed out.
Changing gears real quick. I took a walking ghost tour in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Had a good time.
See any?
And, No, but the guide showed us a photograph that he had taken of one of these haunted hotels, and there's these – you can see pictures of children. Now, they could have been real kids, but he was like, these are ghost children, see? And I'm like, oh, well, okay, I have no point of reference.
Did they just look like real kids?
Yeah, they did. And he's like, these are ghosts.
They
didn't
look like ghosts?
No, it looked like you could kind of see them, but it like they weren't – they looked like human kids.
I've been watching that. I tried watching an American Horror Story, and I made it through the first two seasons. And I started one that's set in New Orleans.
I haven't seen that one.
It's all like, it's scary, but it's also just all rape.
Really?
Like the whole thing is just so much horrible.
Is that the cult
rape.
One?
The whole series.
Huh.
Yeah, this one. No, I did the first one was the house. Second one was the asylum. Now it's, I don't, it's witches.
But
yeah, it's like so much like not even like I'm not even getting scared. I'm just kind of like just squirmy. We're squirmy.
On this ghost tour, we walked through a hotel or in front of a hotel where apparently a bunch of kids died. And there's a lot of they see these kids wandering around. They see these kid ghosts. And while we were walking in front of that hotel, three times Katie says that. Somebody was tugging at her purse. She said three different times she thought literally someone was trying to...
Yeah, somebody's robbing her. It's New Orleans.
No, but she said each time she'd turn around, there's nobody there.
They're going on a ghost tour. They're like, that's an easy mark. No, don't worry. It's a kid ghost. Anyway, it's a kid ghost going through your wallet right now. Don't worry about me. I'm a ghost. Give me $20. A picture of the ghost.
It was
$20.
with your admission to this ghost tour, you get two for one on the big hurricanes, some big silly fruity drink.
Yeah.
And Katie doesn't drink. So I asked the bartender, I said, hey, can I just get one at half off? And he goes, nah, it's two for one. And it was cold outside, too. And I was like, all right, give me two. So I'm just double fisting these two big plastic cups of grape punch vodka bullshit.
That's what sweet tea tastes like to me, is every drink in a plastic guitar that you get.
But yeah, it was pretty funny. I was just, my hands were freezing, but I was like, I'm going to get all this in me. Just walking around with 48 ounces of stupid hurricane drink.
Matt Bronger told me back in Chicago, I think like the bar he worked at or something, they all went for like a company outing on like a ghost tour in a van where you could drink and go on this ghost tour, but they were all shit-faced. And so the guy was taking it seriously. But every time he'd be like, and here's something, have all the drugs, be like, the guy was just getting so annoyed.
Oh.
It was every stop they'd make, he'd say,
oh, don't mock it.
What else do you want to say?
I don't know.
The beginning of 2018. That we've caught up with our last month off here.
Mm-hmm. Went and saw Clutch on tour. Did I tell you that?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was in Lafayette, first night of the tour. Clutch was in Baton Rouge, an hour away, and me and my buddy Jason, we finished the show and hauled ass. Got to see Clutch on a whim. Just didn't even know it was good.
Yeah. Let's go catch him.
Had no idea. So let's go see Clutch. Like, nice. All right, cool. That has nothing to do with 2018. But oh, man. A little
fun stuff.
Little inside baseball. My year's already starting off with a boom. My pilot got rejected from Food Network.
Yeah,
so,
fuck them.
So fuck you guys.
All right. We already shit on one Hollywood type.
Yeah.
Fuck them too.
Yeah.
Right.
So people keep asking, what am I going to do, a food show? You know, hey, I'm trying, but Food Network been fucking with this stupid idea for a year, and finally they're like, nah.
Well, it's you eating food,
yeah.
And I would hate to see it a neutered idea. Well, what? I mean, it's every Food Network food. Ooh. I was harassing them.
Yeah.
Wow. You know.
Yeah.
It's like I'm an idiot with a mouth. Give
yeah.
Me a show.
Yeah.
Fit stuff in there.
You know, maybe I'll follow 300,000 people on Twitter, so 100,000 people will follow me back, and that'll get me there.
That's
yeah.
Who'd you take a shot at with
upstairs? Don't worry about it. Oh man! Apropos of nothing, Boo got me a Christmas player, record player for Christmas.
Called her Boo.
Yeah, she's my Boo. It's fun.
You mean she got herself a record player?
Well, she got herself a record player.
Of
yeah,
a moving van.
Yeah. She's. I'm gonna keep it at her place. But so now when I go over there, I can play records. I've got electronics, but nowhere to put them. And by the way, I've been record shopping online since then. Yesterday. I was just saying, see if Kyle's got any vinyl on Amazon.
Oh yeah,
$290 for Death of the Party.
Nobody's paying that.
$290.
That is an arbitrary price.
You're a rare collector's item.
Yeah, that's me. that's somebody really shooting for the stars. Well, how about this? Speaking of vinyl, I promised my buddy Ryan Young from the band Off With Their Heads that I'd give a shout out to his Anxious and Angry website, where he's got a bunch of promo, free promo for a buddy. It's not necessarily a comic of the week.
They're good.
Off With Their Heads is fucking great.
You took me to see them.
Yeah. You saw them.
And they were staying at the Cecil Hotel that night. We were talking about that.
Oh, that's right. They were staying down at the Creepy Woods. He's got shirts and records from a bunch of bands at anxiousandangry.com. Go check it out. He's a good dude. He asked about a plug earlier this year, and I was like, you betcha, buddy. Don't even worry about it. The Peg Boy shirt that you see me wearing is from them. And they got a bunch of stuff. Rainbow Gamblers, Iron Sheik, all good stuff. Bull Weevils. They have 88 Fingers. Go to see 88 Fingers Louie next week. I didn't take you to see that. Maybe you saw another band. I saw a band called Major Threat, which is an all-drinking tribute to Minor Threat.
That's funny.
And they were fun. That was a good show last week, and I got real hungover.
You have one of their shirts.
Yeah, they give, they give me their shirts.
That's
they
cool.
Give me a bunch of their shirts. But anyway, so that's a shout-out to anxiousandangry.com. Go there. If you like the rock and roll music and you want to get paraphernalia that will help, and he does a real good deal. I forget what it is, but it's a real good deal for getting merch out for bands. He also owns a screen printing place called Fourth Shift and does a real good fair deal for artists. So go hit him up there. I guess I said that like we were ending the episode.
Are we ending the episode?
You got anything else you want to talk about?
Let me plug somebody real quick. Not necessarily. I won't make him Comic of the Week, even though he's already been Comic of the Week. Ryan Singer, our good buddy, friend of the show, Ryan Singer. I want to plug his he's got a new piece of merch that he's very proud of. It's Ryan Singer's Comedy Notebook, and you can get this at RyanSingerComedy.com. What it is I don't know if you've noticed, but Ryan, obviously a tremendous comic, but just a mystical beast. And
he's
just
a comedy shaman.
Yeah, and he never does – nothing about him is ordinary. Like even like we toured together, you know, I'll write out my set list on a piece of toilet paper or whatever. Ryan has these notebooks and like our joke notebooks, but they're not his jokes. He's got notebooks
affirmations
completely filled with set list. So he'll write out a set list, but then there'll be some weird crossword puzzle, or he'll turn it into some drawing or some crazy riddle.
Listeners will know him from the live in Atlanta.
Yes. The live podcast we did in Atlanta at Red Clay. Also has his own great podcast, Me and Paranormal You. But if you know Ryan, you know his comedy, you know his work. He's got these incredible comedy notebooks, and it's basically a replica of these real notebooks that he's been producing and curating for years and years. And he's kind of compiled all his crazy notes and set list and weird crazy thoughts, and it's a really well done book.
It's on his Instagram. And you can kind of see the get a vibe of what he's doing.
It's really well done. I've seen it, and $20. RyanSingerComedy.com. At least go there and check out the thing. But if you're a fan of his comedy or just comedy in general, it's a nice little memento for comedy fans to kind of see. It really is like looking inside of his crazy ass brain. Like, you know, I think about that sometimes too. Like with notebooks, like you know,
I would never want somebody to read my notebook.
No, me neither.
I would rather go through like 1,000 other humiliations.
Yeah.
Then have somebody go through and be like, you thought this was comedy.
Well, I told
you this would be funny.
That's why I intentionally write in chicken scratch in case it ever gets found, so nobody can read it.
I've been doing these daily journal things right now, and I'm like, I gotta hide this.
Yeah. So what's a daily journal?
I'm just trying to like free write every day. Uh-huh. Like 3 pages of free writing.
Okay.
Just, like, kind of get the crap out of your mind.
Just free association.
Yeah, just because I've been in a rut creatively and comedically.
You should read a couple pages of those to us one day.
I go back and read it myself. I'm like, ugh, a real cringe word.
Oh, man.
It's funny. Speaking of embarrassment, though, like I realize how nude I walk around this place.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of windows.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling Rachel, like, we can get, like, get drapes, or I'll just get a sign to hang out that says, don't look at my dick.
Uh-huh.
And it'd be funny to hang on the front of your house.
That would be fun.
With no blinds in your house, just a sign that says, don't look at my dick.
Yeah.
And then you just live nude in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's on them.
Yeah. I've never minded that.
Can you get arrested for being naked in your own house?
No. I almost got in a fight one time 20 years ago because a guy would stand, and my neighbor would stand in his and jack off when me and my girlfriend would come home. He would stand in the living room with all the lights on, looking out, and he would jack off in front of my girlfriend.
Straight rubbing one.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were you guys doing?
We're just – every time we'd come home. Every time we would come home at night, he would see our car pull up, and then next thing you know, he'd just be standing in the living room about, you know,
it's a weird
10 feet from the – yeah, just jacking off. And eventually I'd had enough, and I went banging on his door, and it's like, look, man. I know that – I know it's a legal gray area. You're in your own home.
Yeah, how
but
does that work? What's the legality?
I don't know.
Of being nude in your home.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying that I'm jerking off. I'm just getting a glass of water or something.
Yeah.
You know.
I never minded that either. It's like, yeah, you want to look? Go ahead. What do I care?
Because I look. Mm-hmm. If I see lights on in a window, I look. out with the specific mindset. Mm-hmm. Like being a peeping Tom's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, but even that, I think it depends on where you're peeping from.
Yeah, what if you're in the street and somebody's just open? You're just mm-hmm. looking in an open window.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going up. You're not, if it's trespassing, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to justify, but I'm saying if you're looking at my dick, just don't look at my dick if it bothers you.
Mm-hmm. Duh.
Working off things a bit far, though. I agree. Yeah. See, I'm wishy-washy on the subject as it is. Either way, I'd rather have somebody see me in here naked getting a glass of water than ever read one page of my notebook.
Hmm.
So get Brian's merch, because it's a real it's a real open-hearted way to approach it. The fuck did I just talk about? We could have just ended.
Know. Yeah, we could have.
Why did I have to go on?
That's okay, buddy. Anything to plug?
No.
No? Just getting back into the groove here, huh?
Yeah, I'm really trying to sort it all out. Well, it's January. I'm doing nothing this month.
No, me neither.
I'm going to be at the Pleasure Chest tonight.
Oh, that sounds fun.
The porno shop in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Some new jokes that will fail. Oh, I'll be at, you know what? I'll be in Huntington Beach this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
The Rec Room.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, there might be tickets still left for that one. What about you, Dave? Anything coming up, brand new year, new you?
Not that I can think of. I gotta.
We all might die soon.
Gotta get to work. Put some old dates back on the schedule.
All right. Well,
it's good to be back, man.
We're back in it. Thanks for sticking. You know how you made it through without 2 weeks of us. You know, just doing nothing for you,
patrons. Your new episode of Dave's Kitchen is up now on the Patreon page. I'm making homemade hot wings. Ooh. Yeah, for football time.
That's smart.
Homemade hot wings with homemade hot wing sauce and homemade ranch dressing. It's a good one.
Ranch, not blue cheese.
I give you the option. Basically, it's the same recipe. If you want blue cheese, you just crumble up some blue cheese crumbles in there, and it's pretty much the same thing.
Right?
It's pretty similar. You take away the Italian seasoning, you add the blue cheese crumbles. It's pretty much the same recipe, the base of it. Yeah.
I mean, I knew that's what it was. I just wanted it to be more.
Mm-hmm.
Because when somebody's like, oh, you want blue cheese or ranch? I'm like, blue cheese, of course.
I love blue cheese, too. I love homemade ranch.
Same bullshit.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's up now. Yeah, man, patrons, thank you for your $4 a month.
Bless your hearts.
Non-patrons, still, we appreciate you as well. You know, you don't have to buy our love.
No.
But,
I mean, I did laugh. I listen to the Mysterious Universe podcast mm-hmm. once in a while.
The guys out of Australia?
Australia.
Yeah, those guys
are
good.
It was like their year-end one where uh-huh. you could tell they just didn't give a shit. And they have like
how dare they?
Their plus extension where like, thanks everybody for paying and seeing the play. And the other ones, well, we really don't put any effort into these first ones where you the free stuff, we don't give a shit about you. But thank you so much. Like, I just shit on everybody who listens to it for free.
That's funny.
And I thought it's hilarious. I was like, I can't do that for here because we need every listener we can get.
And real quick before we leave, I don't have the notes and names written down, but received several Christmas gifts through the mail. And anybody who sent us a couple people sent us cards. And one dude sent us just a bottle of a can of Old Bay seasoning, just cause.
Just Old Bay?
Yeah, just Old Bay. Another dude sent some whiskey. So anybody who sent gifts, much appreciated. I don't have the notes on me right now, but we'll give you a shout-out coming up soon. But, yeah, we got those, and we appreciate those as always. So, yeah, holla at you boys. We're on Twitter, Boogie Monster Pod. No vowels in the monster.
Yeah, I haven't checked the social meds.
Yeah,
frequently.
Man, I intentionally tried to stay off social media the whole
took Twitter off
the whole break. It was refreshing.
Yeah, man, it's just trash.
Yeah,
Twitter would just fill me with such negativity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still on it, but whatever. All right. All right. Knocking the rest off.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Go dogs.
Go. Let's go dogs.
Go dogs.
The Boogie Monster. Oh,
bum bum bum.